Blog Talk Radio.
What's going on, everybody? I'd like to welcome you all to It's Real Talk Radio. I'm your host, T. Real. My co-host, Nizzy Nay, wasn't able to make it tonight. She has some personal things to attend to, so I'm going to be on here holding it down tonight. I got a great guest today. I'm real excited about it. And we're going to bring her on in a second. Before we bring her on, I just want to show my co-host some love. You know, she got some personal things she's tending to right now. So I just want to show my co-host some love real quick. And, you know, just... just show my co-host some love. You know, that's like my reliable co-host, always there. She always hold it down. So for her to not be able to make it, you know, it's something really going on. So just had to show my co-host some love. Now, with that being said, the guest of the night, she's got a lot going on right now. She's a singer slash songwriter slash radio host slash author slash actress slash Miss Do It All, you know. This is the most unique guest I've ever had. Like, you know, I never had a guest on here that is this multi-talented, that does this many different things. And who knows what else she does, but we're going to find out tonight. So without further ado, I'm going to bring on the lady of the hour, Miss Diamond Pari. Let's give her some love. Okay, Diamond?
Hello, yes.
Yeah, you know, I'm sorry about that. I gave you the wrong effect. This is what you needed right here.
Yay, I like that.
That's the one you needed.
I like that.
That's the one you needed. I actually gave you the wrong one. I had the audience laughing at you, so yeah, my fault.
That's okay.
What's going on, Diamond? What's going on?
Not too much tonight. At home, you know, relaxing and ready to enjoy the show with you tonight.
Right. Yeah, that's what's up, man. It's definitely a pleasure to have you on here, and it's definitely going to make for an interesting show tonight. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. You know, we got some music of yours that we're going to play, like the people will hear some of that, and
yes.
We're just going to take it from the top. For those who don't know Miss Diamond Pari, you know, the objective tonight is at the end of this show, you're going to know who Diamond Pari is. So
right.
Let's start off with singing. Obviously, you're a singer. How long have you been singing?
Well, I've been singing all my life. Music has always been a part of my life. So for as long as I can remember, probably since I was 6 years old, music has always been a part of my life. I sang in different play productions and like musicals and stuff growing up, but I didn't actually start recording until 2009. So, but music has always been a part of my life.
Right. It's just like something that was like nobody like taught you. You kind of just picked it up on your own type of thing.
Right. Actually, my father was a musician and a vocalist. So, you know, that's where the talent came in at. But it's always been a part of my life, and it's always been something that's been very important to me. As far as songwriting, I've been writing music for as long as I can remember, way longer than before I actually started recording or, you know, decided to do my music as a career. So, yeah, but it's definitely a genetic talent for me.
Right. And I noticed, like, with a lot of singers, a lot of times it's hereditary. A lot of times it's just something that just runs in the blood. Like, you know, if it's just in you. Like, usually people that sing or rap and musicians, they have other people in their family. It just, like, passed down
right.
the line. Like, it just passed down the bloodline. You just, it just naturally, you just, naturally pick it up. Like you said, your father was a singer,
but yes,
you, I'm pretty sure that he didn't sit there and teach you all the ins and outs. I'm pretty sure you picked a lot of it up naturally.
Actually, I did because my father was a traveling musician, so he wasn't really a part of my life, like, at all. I probably seen him a handful of times. I remember maybe seeing him once every so many years. He would drop in, maybe from a tour or something like that. But he really wasn't a part of my life. And so, yeah, he never taught me, you know, the music side or anything like that. He never really taught me anything like that. It was just something that, you know, that was in me naturally.
Right, yeah. That's definitely how it usually is. It's, mm-hmm. And you can always, like, I think that's just so amazing how, like, people are just born with these gifts, something you just discover. Like, I know of musicians who no one ever taught them how to play the instrument. They just grabbed it and they just
right.
went on their own. It just was natural. It was like, I got family members, musicians actually running my family. I got family members that play piano, trumpet, organs, all types of stuff, and none of them, like, went to school or anything. They're just natural. Singers, songwriters,
right.
rappers, all of that stuff runs in my bloodline, and it's just natural. I think that's
because
right. incredible.
It's a gift. Right.
It's actually a gift.
Yeah, it's actually a gift. With a gift, you know, you can always better yourself with, of course, you know, vocal lessons and, you know, practice makes perfect. We all need that. But, you know, a gift is just that. It's a gift from God. So, you know, if you have a musical gift or something like that, you know, you're automatically musically inclined. And it just comes natural.
Come on, let them know. Let them know. That's what I'm talking about. Definitely. And who is your favorite singer?
My favorite singer. I don't have one favorite singer because I like so many, but Whitney Houston has always been one of my favorites. I've always looked up to her, and, you know, people like Toni Braxton, and I'm very fond of Jill Scott, Erykah Badu, you
oh,
know,
yeah,
all the
solid. Check on all
yes,
four of them.
And, right. There is... she's not independent. She's signed, but she's not. I could say she's well known, but I don't think she's as recognized as she should be. Her name is Ndombe. She's a soulless artist. Also, she sang backup for Erykah Badu for many years, and then she went on, you know, to promote her solo career and was independent for a while. I don't know who she signed to, but she's one of my favorites, also.
Right. I mean, she backed up Erykah Badu. I'm pretty sure she's pretty dope in her own way.
Right, right.
I mean, Erykah Badu ain't going to have no trash backing her up.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah,
Erykah Badu's one of my favorite. Needless to say, my favorite video is Window Seat, but we're not even going to get into that. But that is not my favorite Erykah Badu song, but definitely my favorite video.
Right, okay.
There's certain
songs that she has that I don't particularly like. There are some of her songs that I do like, but I do like her as an artist, so.
Yeah, she's dope. Mm-hmm. Like, what did you look to accomplish in your singing career? What is your main objective to reach in your singing career?
My main objective, I think my main goal in my career, period, just because, you know, there's so many different avenues to my career. It's just not, you know, music. Is to just always become better at what I'm doing with every goal that I meet. There's another goal behind it because I'm always reaching to do bigger and better things.
Right.
Also learn from everything that I'm doing and with everything that I'm doing to try to help other people along the way, not just benefit myself, but to benefit others as well. So those are the things that I like to, you know, gain in my career.
Right, right, definitely. I respect that, definitely. And do you have any albums, any projects out? Like, you have anything that's out right now? That people
I have,
feel, like, any cool projects?
I have several songs that are out, but and I just had a CD that just came out recently. But as far as a major project, I have an EP that will be releasing sometime around spring. And it's called Footprints.
Okay, so people
yeah.
can get the EP in the spring. Now, you said you have
right.
you do have a project that is out right now.
I have music out, but I don't have a project. I don't have, like,
oh,
EP
you just got,
or
like,
anything
individual
like that,
songs,
but I do have
it's kind of like, okay, you got songs that's out.
Right,
that
right.
people can, well, how can people, like, hear your songs? Like, the songs that's out right now, somebody's listening to this interview right now, and they say, hold up, stop, I want to hear what this girl got. Like, how can they hear it?
Anybody that ever wants to know anything about me, period, can always just go to Google and type my name in, and everything will come up, because I've
everything
done so much.
Right
but as, yeah, as far as music, you know, there's music on YouTube, and there's also music on my Reverb Nation page, and I have a website, you know, diamondperry.com. So, you know, there's music on there. So, you know, I always have something online, and I perform throughout Atlanta, in other states and cities, you know. Those updates are always on my Reverb Nation page. So,
right.
you know, there's always
that's
something that someone can listen to. Yeah.
Definitely. That's what's up. And you have an EP that's coming out in the spring. Is that like the one thing that's coming? Is there like anything else coming like besides that? Or that's the main thing right now that's coming? That's like the only thing that's coming as of right now.
Well, you know, as far as my music, yes, I do have a book that is getting ready to, it'll be available on ebook initially, and that'll be sometime around Christmas, maybe like a week after Christmas or so. And
right, no, I mean as far as your music, because we're going to get into the book and all of
music.
That stuff, but I mean as far
okay.
as the music, yeah, because we're going to get into
okay.
all of that other
okay.
stuff too.
Yeah, as far as music, right now, I'm working on the EP, which is Footprints, and really taking my time with it because, you know, I'm R&B artist, Neo Soul, but I've been writing a lot of inspirational music, excuse me, and gospel music. And that's kind of, you know, where I'm going with this project and where I'm going with my genre. It'll still be R&B, but it'll be more inspirational R&B, and it'll be gospel. So I'm kind of, you know, taking my time with it. And the gospel will be new to me. It won't be traditional gospel. It will be inspirational gospel. It's new to me as far as, you know, singing and performing, but not as far as writing. I've been dabbling with, you know, writing the gospel for a while. And, it's been something that's been in my thought process. It's something that God has wanted me to do. So, you know, I'm on a mission right now, and he's leading me where he wants me to be. So I'm really taking my time with that project. And
I hear that.
Yeah. You know, so I don't, you know, I don't want to put a rush on it. I did that a lot of times in the beginning of my career, you know, 2008, 2009. You're very excited as a musician. You have ideas. You're very excited about, you know, getting things out and allowing people to, you know, listen to your projects and your creativity, things that you have going on. You want to share those things with the world because as a musician, that's the way that you express yourself. But at the same time, you need to put a lot of time, you know, into that project and put a lot of time into your work and just take your time. Because time is of the essence.
Definitely. And I feel like there isn't enough positive music out right now. Not saying people don't make positive music, but it's like when it comes to mainstream, unless you're in the gospel genre, like when it comes to like R&B and hip-hop and even rap, like it's like the positive music isn't like embraced in the mainstream. So
right.
If you want a song that's going to be hot, it got to be like in the club, bending over, touching your toes, popping bottles,
right.
Smoking green, that type stuff. But if you want
to
have a conversation with the man upstairs and talk about making this world a better, safer place for everybody, and it's like, it's like they don't even play it. It's not even that people won't want to hear it. People say people don't want to hear that. But remember when Kanye West came out with Jesus Walks? Not that that wasn't like a gospel song or nothing, but it had like, you know, he was talking about Jesus on there, and people embraced it. So that goes to show you that there's potential there, but people, the radio stations and the mainstream, like, they control the flow of the music, and they don't choose to take that route. Because you got to think about it. We all know that people are going to listen whatever. You could play Yankee Doodle on the radio, and people are going to listen to it. You literally could play Yankee Doodle, and they would listen to it.
If it has a good vibe to
so, they'll listen to anything. It got a rhythm and a nice hook, they're going to listen to it. So it could be positive music. And it seems like the only way you can get positive music really out there is to take the gospel route, because that is its own genre, and it's meant to be positive and embracing and talking about being spiritual and having a relationship with God. And then that way, the people that are into, like, the gospel and that stuff will embrace it, you know. But I just feel like, personally, like, people should be able to do that in R&B, too, in hip-hop, too, more positive stuff. And I think the mainstream should do a better job of supporting, like, the positive stuff. So I just had to say that. I had to get that off my chest real quick because, you know,
I think that's why, you know, I don't know, for me, myself, when I first started, I started out in R&B and pop, and it had just always been in the back of my mind, the back of my thought process. I've always wanted to do gospel. But honestly, when I thought about it, and I thought about where I was, and I thought about the way people looked at music, I went ahead and continued with the R&B, you know, the hip-hop. I did, you know, collaborations with a lot of hip-hop artists in Atlanta. You know, we were in the club and performing 5-6 nights a week. So this is, you know, I felt like I was fitting in. I felt like I was fitting in, and I was still trying to find myself as an artist. And then, you know, with gospel and inspirational, when people hear that, they're like, oh, you know. But when they hear the hip-hop, they're like, hey, you know. So, but the whole point is, at this point in my career, in order for me to go where I need to go and where I need to be, I have to follow his lead. I have to follow God's lead, and I have to be on that mission. So that's where I'm going with that.
Exactly. That's what I'm talking about. Dude was going to make you happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have to satisfy him first and foremost, or nothing will work.
Exactly. That's what I like to hear. And are you willing to ghostwrite for an artist?
Yes, most definitely. I've done it before. You know, I write everything that I do, and I've written far more songs than what I've put out. But, yes, I most definitely will and have ghostwritten songs for other artists.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's definitely what's up. And in a situation where, like, someone wanted you to ghostwrite for them, but they wanted to keep it anonymous, like, they didn't want to put you on the credits, like, they just, like, wanted you to ghostwrite it. You know how sometimes they have certain contracts, and it's like, well, you're going to be the ghostwriter, but you're not going to be credited as the writer of the song, but you're going to get paid, and you just remain anonymous about it. Would you be willing to take that off as an anonymous ghostwriter? Like, that's something you would accept?
I don't really know. I can't really say because, you know, writers is really important as a writer to be able to get that recognition. Sometimes it can be a problem in the long run, but, you know, then again, sometimes it would depend on, you know, the amount of money that was involved. But a lot of times, yeah, you know, writers, it's important to them, you know, to be credited for their work, you know, what they've done. So I don't really know.
Right. I guess if the price was right, then y'all could probably talk some business, huh?
Right.
And somebody say we gonna give you $20,000, but you want you just be anonymous. Would you take $20,000 to be anonymous? And this song really has great potential, but you know nothing is promised. But you know it has great potential.
Right.
Would you take $20,000? Would you accept
then
that?
Again, too, that would depend on where I am in my career.
Right. Yeah. It's $20,000
yeah,
a lot for you right
really
now, or it's $20,000 chump change right now.
Right now, $20,000 would benefit me. But,
I'm
you know,
sure
maybe
it
if this was another time, $20,000 might look like a $5 bill. You know,
right.
It depends on where you are in your career at that time that you're offering.
Right,
know?
Yeah.
Because
that'd be known right now. You can offer me $20,000. I will write a song while I conduct this interview on the show. The song will be written, and I'll still be interviewing you. Where's my $20,000 at?
Right.
I would definitely take
Bill
would definitely take $20,000 for to write a song. Trust me.
Right.
And if you was given the choice, which famous producer would you want to work with? I mean, you can pick one person, one producer, one famous producer, one mainstream producer. Who would it be, and why?
Probably Pharrell.
Pharrell?
Yeah.
Can't go wrong with Pharrell. Pharrell was very dope. I definitely like Pharrell's production.
Yeah. Yeah, he's very, very super talented. I don't know. I mean, he's had his shine, but I don't think he gets enough credit. He's a lot more talented and a lot more bigger and, you know, more creative than what a lot of people know.
Right.
Yeah.
So Pharrell would be your choice over everybody, over Kanye West, Dr. Dre, or everybody. Like, Pharrell would be your number one choice.
Yeah, because I'm a very big fan, you know, I love hip-hop and stuff, too, and I'm a very big fan of Jay-Z, and, you know, Pharrell, he produced a lot of Jay-Z's music.
Yeah, a lot of hits. He definitely produced some hits. You know your song got potential. If Pharrell produced it, you know it got potential. I mean, if it don't go nowhere, it's not because of Pharrell. That's
right,
for sure.
Right.
He's going to give you that hit quality type music, that's for sure.
Right, right.
That's definitely a solid selection. Now, before we get further into this interview, let's let the people hear this first song that you have for us tonight. So why don't you go ahead and introduce the first song?
It's an intro to My World, and that's what it's called. It's My World, and it's one of my favorites.
Okay, so we're about to get into it. My World by Diamond Pryde. We're about to get into it. Diamond Pryde is in the building, y'all. Let's get it. JWB.com.
I'm
About that, like, how did that song come about? Like, what inspired you to, what inspired that song? Who was the producer? All that good stuff.
When I wrote that song, what had inspired me about that song? First of all, the beat and the music and everything. It's more of a neo and a jazz flow, so I'm very, very fond of the music. It's one of my favorites. But listening to the track, and it is an intro to my project, listening to the track, the type of voice that I have, which is smooth and, you know, sexy, smooth, sexy R&B, a lot of people would think, you know, that it's just that. Maybe I'm singing to a guy, but I'm actually not. The reason that I wrote the track is because me coming into the industry, I didn't have a lot of supporters at the beginning, mainly people that were supposed to be close to me and my family basically, you know, turned their back. You know, hey, you can't do this. You know how people are when you're doing something new. And
exactly.
I had more people against me than I did with me. And the reason for that, am I not all that you want me to be? Is people look at you and they want you to be what they want you to be instead of just accepting you for who you are. I'm a musician. I'm an artist, you know, and at the end of the day, that's what I was put here to do. Those are my talents. Instead of supporting me, you know, you're talking behind my back. Well, you know, she should do this. She should do that. She should have stayed in this career, in that career. I went through that. Those are the things that inspired me on this song. The producer of the song is a guy by the name of Chris Houston out of Atlanta, Georgia.
Oh, okay, that's what's up. So you actually sat in the studio with the producer when he played it for you. It was like, oh, I want that. That's what's up. That's always like the – it's nothing like going into a studio if you're a musician. When you, it's one thing for somebody to, like, you know, just email you this track, see if you like it. All right, I go for it. But when you sit in the studio, something about sitting there live, you know, talking back and forth with other talented musicians, engineers,
right.
Producers, and, oh, so what's your style? And you sing for him a little bit? Oh, you know what? I got something for that. Damn, what you think about this? Oh, well, yeah, I think that, oh, could you change the drums like this? Because I would sing it like that. You know how it just comes together in a studio with musicians and engineers and producers? Like, it's just, I don't know, it's just a great feeling. Cause I'm really into music myself. And when I'm in a studio sitting with talented musicians, producers, it just makes the music that much better. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
Makes it really come to life. Now, you're also into acting. You're also an up and coming actor. So let's talk
yeah.
about that. How long have you been into acting? How long have you been actually acting?
I actually started. I think I was maybe like 9. So I've done play productions and I did like a kid's TV show coming up, so that has also been a part of me, you know, as well. That's something that really just come natural. The type of things that I have going on now are there's an upcoming TV show. One of my fellow industry associates, I'll say, is a film producer and director. And I'm going to be involved in that project. I can't really say much about it right now, maybe like in another month or so. But I do have that to look forward to. So.
Right. That's what's up. I look forward to it myself. Look forward to see how you display in front of that camera. How did you
I'm
get into acting? How did you, like, get into acting? What was the first thing that happened that caused you to, like, really get into acting? Like, how did that come about?
Like I said, it's always been a part of my life because I've done a lot of play productions and stuff like that, you know, coming up as a kid. And then even, you know, as a teenager, I did a lot of speaking. I won a lot of writing contests along the years where I had to show up at different, you know, banquets and big conventions and stuff like that and speak. And I think that goes alongside with the acting because as an actor and as an actress, you have to know how to present yourself. You have to know how to speak. You have to be comfortable on camera. You have to be comfortable with speaking in front of you know, large amounts of people, and there just can't be any shyness involved. So I'm very comfortable on camera. If anyone ever sees anything that I'm in or, you know, any of my interviews on YouTube or anything like that, I've never been a shy person. So acting is something that I'm comfortable with. I'm excited about the upcoming project. I love drama, so I'm really looking forward to being involved in as many drama projects as I can.
Right, right. Well, like, when you were coming up, were you the person that, like, always, like, you liked to be the center of attention? Like, were you the one person in the class that would say something to make the whole crowd just erupt in laughter? Like, were you that type of person coming up? Or did this boost of confidence come later on in life?
Well, I was the type of person that I always wanted everybody to hear me sing and watch me dance. And I was in a dance group coming up at some point for a small amount of time. But I like to sing, dance, you know, act. So I always wanted people to see my talents and to watch that. I was always the one that was asked to be in everything. Anything big that they had, you know, going on in school, even in high school, I was always asked to be a part of that. But as far as me, you know, wanting to say something, so everybody could laugh, no, I wasn't into anything like that. I kept quiet, you know, until it was time to show myself. And it's the same way I am now. If I'm around family members or we're having like a big, you know, family something, then I will be the quietest one until it's time to turn on my music or something that has to do with my career. You know, outside of that, I'm a quiet person, you know.
Right.
Kind of keep to myself type person.
We've got Thanksgiving coming up. Are you going to be the one to say the family prayer? Like, you're going to be that outspoken vocal person?
Yeah, I like to do that most of the time. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay. That's just, like, what are your goals in film? Like, I know you're, this is one of the many things you do. Like, what is your primary goal to reach as far as, like, you know, like, film, as far as acting, your acting career? Do you really want to do, like, take it far, or is it just something you like to do, but it's not the one thing that you want to actually do as far as, like, a profession?
I'm going to take it as far as I can possibly go. I also love, and I mean love to write. So I'll be, you know, in the future, I don't know when, probably not the right time right now because I have so many things going on. But, you know, once I get to a certain point, I will be writing and producing. Last year, I wrote and scripted a TV show, and it's called Jordan. And what had happened, it was last fall when we started out. So what had happened, and what happens a lot of time in independent projects, it was so difficult to keep a reliable cast together because life is tough, you know, people.
Right.
People, you know, yeah, they have their life happening, their life challenges and everything. And, you know, with me having my music career and stuff like that, I have certain things that have to be done at a certain time, certain dates. So, you know, when we were supposed to start the shoot and a few of the cast members started to fall apart, it was time for me to leave the state. It was time for me to travel a little bit. So that's definitely, you know, still have the script. Not going anywhere. That's definitely something that I'm going to do in the future. And that's
right.
Produce. Yeah. But it's actually a comedy, and I'm not a funny person. Like, I don't have a real good sense of humor. I have fun, you know, I know how to have fun, but I'm
right.
not the type of person, you know, that will just really keep you laughing. So that is the reason that I wanted to write the comedy, just to see how good I really could be at it. I'm more into writing, like, drama and stuff like that. So it was fun. It was a challenge, but it was fun.
Right. Like, I love to laugh myself, and I got a heck of a sense of humor, but I'm not, like, a funny person myself. So if put
right.
in that situation, it would definitely be challenging. I would never tell myself I couldn't do something, but
right.
you're asking me to be funny, and I'm not naturally a funny person, I'm going to have my work cut out for me.
Right,
I'll be sitting
right.
there for 3 days before I come up with the first joke.
Right. And see, I've been told that I'm funny when I don't know it, and that's what happens when you're not, like, a very humorous person. You have, you know, your own humor to your character, and so other people, you know, they can see that. So you're really a lot more humorous than what you realize you are.
And who is your favorite actor or actors?
Definitely Denzel Washington.
Denzel,
yeah,
number one?
Denzel will be my favorite actor. Let me see. My favorite, there's a few. I like Kerry Washington and Jill Scott. Of course, you know, she's an actress. And, you know, Tyler Perry, very fond of him. I'm a very big Tyler Perry fan.
Right.
There's a few, but those are at the top of my list. Definitely Denzel. He's a great actor.
Yeah, you know what? You know what won me over for Denzel, and I think this is what won a lot of people over for Denzel. Once he did Training Day, I was like, I got to go see anything Denzel was in from this point on. Like, I was
right,
totally won over.
Right.
And the thing about, he's been in like great movies before then, but to see him be able to pull off that role in that way and to show that versatility
exactly.
like that, we never really seen Denzel like that. So it was
right,
a wow.
Right.
Like,
Denzel really
Will Smith. Like, they're very unique actors. And I would say Johnny Depp is, like, another one. Very, very unique. It's the Denzels,
right.
the Will Smiths, and the Johnny Depps, they only come around every so often. They're just great actors. Appreciate them while they're here because they're great actors.
Right. 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 Yeah, there's a lot of them out there. Those are the ones that, you know, I can think of offhand, but. There's a lot, and people don't really understand acting is not easy at all. It's very, very hard work, and if you're going to act, you really got to have it, because when you talk about being a character, especially when you have a role to play that's not any of you, you know, you could be... somebody that's very has very high religious morals, and then you get a role to be a woman, you know, that's on drugs, a drug addict or something like that, or you know, you get a role where you're a drug addict and you're neglected to your children or something like that, or you know, just anything playing outside of your character, you know, is not easy because you have to put yourself into that character.
Right, exactly. Kind of like how, like, Monique was in Precious, like how she
right.
pulled off that
she
role.
She was really good. She was really good.
If I'm not mistaken, she won, like, an Oscar for that or something, right?
Yep, she did. She did. And with that, when a lot of people watched that movie, they were mad at her. People were
yeah,
mad
I heard
at
about
her.
That.
That's how you know she did her job. Anytime
That's how you
an
know.
Actress can get you mad at them, you know, how people watch a movie and say, I hate her. You know, yeah, they hated the role that she played. She done her job. She did exactly what she was supposed to.
Oh, she did a heck of a job. That
mm-hmm.
was
she's,
man, that movie
she's
was
one
crazy.
Of my favorites. She's a really good actress as well. Her and Oprah Winfrey. And Oprah,
yeah.
by the way, is my number one idol. So,
Oprah Winfrey is actually a dope actor. Like, she might be a better actor than she is a talk show host. Oprah Winfrey,
right.
she had went so long without doing any big work that people kind of forgot, like, The Color Purple and those
right,
other films
right.
that she was in back in the day.
That
like,
she was magnificent.
Oprah Winfrey,
yeah.
she will really sell you. Like, she will sell you, definitely. She's
right.
a very good actor. Well, actress, actually. She's a very
a
good
lot
actress.
Of people couldn't have played her role in The Color Purple or... you know, certain roles, you know, it takes specially talented type of people to be able to play those type of roles or play the roles in those type of movies.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that wasn't just a regular movie that, you know.
Oh, no.
It wasn't
that's
just a
movie
regular
the
movie.
Right there.
So you really had to have it to be in a movie like that.
Definitely. Do you know how to make yourself cry? Like, if you got a script and it's like, you got to cry right now, can you, like, if I asked you to cry right now, could you do it?
I wouldn't want to, but yes. yes, I could, yeah. Could make
That's
myself
dope.
Cry, could be, yeah. I'm a good actress when it comes to that. And like I said, drama is my specialty, and I really look forward to some of those projects. I don't want to be in any horror movies, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't. That doesn't interest me. I can't see myself running from the monster and the knife. I guess if the price was right, but though I don't usually look for any of those type of projects.
Well, you know, you're probably the wrong, how can I put this? I want to put this in the right context. All right. the black people die first. Let's just be real. Black people die first.
Right.
So you're in a horror movie, you'll probably be dead within the first 5 minutes. That's just how it goes. We all know the rules. So, I mean, it would be nice to see you in a quick little 5 minutes that you're in there, but I don't think most directors don't seem to care to keep the black people in to the end of the movie. So,
right,
it would be short and sweet, that's for sure. I'm just keeping it real. I've been very few movies I've seen the black people make it till all the way till the end.
Right.
And then if they tell you, well, you got to fall, you're like, hold up, we don't do this. We don't fall when we're running. When we run, we run. That's it.
We run
until we're out of the way of danger. Like, so it doesn't make sense for me to fall. Like, you're not making it realistic.
Right.
People know black people do not fall, and they don't ask questions.
Don't fall.
They go
and
ask questions later.
They're not going to stand there and, you know, argue with Jason and ask him why and where did you come from. They're gone.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So let's get into this next song. Introduce this next song.
The next song is also one of my favorites too. It's called Closer, and it's an R&B track. It's actually the remix of the original.
All right. And this is going to be on the upcoming project too?
No, it's not.
Okay.
Well,
I
have all new stuff
it.
For my upcoming project.
Okay. So let's get into it. Closer, Miss Diamond Pride. Diamond Pride's in the building, y'all.
Oh, baby, yeah.
was Closer by Diamond Pride. And let's talk about it.
That Closer is one of my favorite tracks also. Smooth R&B. This one, like I said, is a remix, and we did the hook part in auto-tune so that way, you know, it could be performed in the club and stuff like that and
right.
not, you know, be so slow and smooth R&B, maybe have a little bit of touch in it, you know, so that it could be played in the club and stuff like that.
Right.
And I guess what really inspired me about this track is the producer that produced this track. He's one of my favorites, O'Brien, and I've gotten several tracks from him. But I don't know, it's just a love track, you know, and it's just really about a female wanting to be closer in her relationship, not necessarily closer in the bed or closer, you know, at a sexual standpoint.
Right.
So a lot of times, you know, when you write songs, it depends on how the person feels. You know, the person that's listening to the song, to them it could mean closer sexually. But when I wrote the song, it's intended to be closer as far as the relationship, a man and a woman being as one.
Right, that's what's up. So, man, I mean, what is it with you? Like, you got all this stuff going on. You also have a radio show. So let's get into that. Let's talk about that.
Right. The Diamond Perry
Let's get into your radio show. Because I know that's a very big thing you take a lot of pride in.
Right,
I was just
going
to ask you, let the people know the name of it, but that is the name, the Diamond Perry Show.
Yes,
the
Diamond
Perry Show.
Diamond
and I had the pleasure
show.
Of watching it, and it was a very, like, you do a very good job of, like, talking to people. You interview people yourself on your own show.
Right.
do a very good job. And I was inspired with having a talk radio show. That inspired me to sit there and watch you do your thing on camera, live. No preparation, just live, boom, right in front of the camera. Let's get into
right.
it. You know, you got that firm eye contact. You're definitely not shy. I mean, that's definitely what's up. You got a lot going on.
Right.
How long have you been into this doing this radio show? How long?
The radio show is actually new itself. Shy of not even a few weeks. But the talk show itself, anniversary date was maybe like 3 days ago. It brought me to a 3-year mark. So the Diamond Perry Show has gone on for 3 years. It doesn't seem like that it's been that long, but it actually, an online show, an online visual, and I have the radio show. The radio show is something new that I've just implemented, so I'm with New Radio in Atlanta, home of D4L Mook B. So, yeah, that's how that come about. But the talk show itself, I've had for 3 years, and like I said, it started out with a visual. We were in a studio, we were in a studio in the beginning when we first started, and that was the vision that I had, to have a visual, to be able to sit down and speak with people about whatever it was that, whatever topic we were talking about on a positive note, because it is a positive movement. So we've done that, you know, in studio videos. Sometimes we have traveled out, you know, even to other states, depending on what the show topic is about at that point in time. So,
right, and what is your, you know, I always ask you, what's your goal in this, and it's doing this, like, talk radio, interviewing people, like, what is your goal, what do you look to accomplish in this?
I look to accomplish big, big things. I've made major accomplishments with it. Very, very proud to say that. Very appreciative of God, you know, placing this in my life, putting this on me, because I've never in a million years thought about having a talk show, anything like that. By the way, my biological dad, he also was a radio personality and everything. These are just things that, you know, I've heard from my mother and other family members. I was never, a part of anything that he did. But, what I really look to accomplish is, like I do with anything else that I'm doing in my life, I always look to go further. There's never a stopping point. There's never one goal that I have, and I say, okay, well, when I do this, you know, okay, I'm cool. No. It is to become better and continue to do anything else that God puts on me as far as the talk show. I want to go national with it. So we're trying a few things, and if everything works out, then my visual talk show will be on a national channel. Working hard at that right now. And I would still like to have a radio show also. So I look to, be on a mainstream radio show and to also be on a national station with my show. And I think that it would do good.
Well, that's very dope. Like, so you actually trying to get on to where your talk show actually comes on TV or on nationally televised. That's very dope, and you know, I hope you do accomplish that. And I watch your show, and it's very good. Like, I actually enjoy watching your show online more than
Thank you.
A lot of actual shows, talk shows that come on television. So, I can vouch for you. Like, I know you do a great job. And when you got a whole team, writers, producers behind you, and you do all of that yourself, when you get a whole team behind you, you're bound to win. You can't fail.
Right. Yes, I'm very excited about it. I'm very happy to be a part of the new radio family now. And I'm on every Friday from 10 a.m. to 12 noon now, but I plan to, right now that's kind of like a mid-morning. I plan to turn everything into a morning show, full morning show, where I'm on for 4 hours, bringing a co-host in, and I'm bringing in another personality. So we'll actually, you know, do like a weather update. I have a few other things going on. I have an advice column, and we're trying to promote that to where, you know, people can send me emails and different things like that. I'm very experienced with life, so ask me any sort of questions. You know, send those things to my email, and then we address those questions on the show.
That's very dope.
Yeah. So those are the changes that I'm making here, like in the next week or so, with the radio show.
Man, I look forward to it. I'll definitely be tuning in. Definitely, you do a really, really good job.
Thank you, and I hope that you tune in, and I'll be tuning in to you.
Oh, definitely. I sure will.
Tune in
look,
to
once
each
you
other.
Blow up, not if you blow up, but when you blow up, I'm gonna say, yeah, I interviewed her before
she made it.
Yeah, she. Yeah, so, you know, I had her on my show before she even got big. Yeah, I'll be going.
I know it's
that
a
like
winner
that.
Just because it's something that I never came up with. I never came up with this. This was something that God told me to do, and that's why I know it's a winner, because he's gonna make sure that you do what he put you here to do. I don't care what you try to do, if it's not what he has in your life plan, it won't work, and it won't happen. I've been
exactly.
there, done that. Yeah.
I just want to say, once you do get big and you get your nationally televised show. Can I get some tickets to come out there and see you live? That's all I want. I just want to come see you.
Most definitely. You'll be one of the first ones I call.
Yeah, I want to come and see the live show, see how the whole thing goes down. That would be a dope experience.
You'll be one of the first ones I call. I will really, I know it'll be a challenge, but I'm not afraid of anything. I would really love to be on OWN. I really, really love Oprah's whole, you know, movement and everything. So we're looking into it. We're looking into some things. And if not, you know, hey.
Hey, I mean, with your movement and everything that you got going on, you're definitely laying down the foundation that would allow you those type of opportunities.
Right.
Definitely. So it's definitely possible. Definitely. And I wish you the best of luck in that. I think it can definitely be done. I can picture it. Like, it's not even far-fetched to me. It's like, I could really picture it. Like, you know, I think you have a lot of good things ahead of you.
Right.
And
I have
so many things that I want to share
with the world. So, you know, I'm able to do those things with, you know, share experiences. And be able to listen to other people that have went through things and they just want to talk about it. You know, people shed a lot of weight off of their self from just talking about something that they went through. So,
exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And who's the biggest person as far as, like, in terms of, like, career that, like, you've had interviewed on your show so far? Like, what's the biggest person, the biggest name, the most accomplished person you have come through on your show so far?
Well, I do work with, you know, entrepreneurs, more upcoming entrepreneurs and everything. Most of the people that we interview are usually, you know, like domestic violence victims and stuff like that. But
right.
Recently, one of my fellow associates was on, and he is an upcoming producer and director. But he does a lot of things in the community now. He moved into Georgia, assisting the homeless, and I mean working hands on hands with them. Those type of people to me are the most successful people because he's humble, you know, and he's not looking to be rich. Although I told him one day you will be, but to me, the most successful people.
The guy that was on the very last show, yeah, that was a really, really good show.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you can tell that both of y'all are like very down-to-earth people. Just from the way the conversation went, and it was definitely a good show, definitely.
Right.
He was actually
on the cast of Jordan, the project, the sitcom that I was telling you about. And I didn't tell you that I was one of the main actresses. Characters. And yes, and he played the role of my husband.
Oh wow.
Yeah, that's how he
fit
in that. Yeah. So yeah, we actually just met like a year ago, you know, and that's how we connected with that. But I just love him. Like, I just love his character because he's such a humble person and he knows what he wants. And, you know, throughout different things that he's been through in life, different challenges and stuff like that, no matter what, his eyes is still on the prize, and he doesn't let anything or anybody come before that. And that's the only way to get, you know, where it is that you're trying to go. So.
Exactly. Ain't that the truth?
Yeah.
And you have, like, a website, right, for your show, right? Let the people know the site that they go to the Hear your talk show, because you do have a visual show. So how can website people go to watch your show?
As far as the visual show, what we do, we put we have DVDs that are available, but we put clips of the show on YouTube, and then also on our blog site, which is diamondperry.blog.com. And we use the blog site to update different shows, do write-ups on people, you know, who've come through, who've been interviewed and everything like that. And there's also the show clips on the blog site, too. So you can either, you know, watch them, diamondperry.blog.com, or either on YouTube, The Diamond Perry Show.
All right. So everybody listening, make sure you tune in and check out Miss Diamond Perry's work. She definitely does good work. Don't take my word for it. Listen to the show, watch the show for yourself, and see her in action.
Most definitely.
Now, what does it take to get an interview on your show? For somebody that's up and coming, whatever, producer, singer, rapper, author, whatever, like, what would it take for that person to get on your show? Like, how does that work?
They could definitely connect with me on Facebook, and my assistant, you know, arranges that kind of stuff through the email, which is diamondperry@yahoo.com. And we do a lot of the, you know, promoting the show on the social networks and stuff like that. So anyone that's interested in an interview or coming onto the show can just, you know, shoot us an email at diamondperry@yahoo.com.
Okay.
Or, you know, either connect with us on the blog site as well. So there's so many ways that a person could never say that they couldn't find me or couldn't get in touch with me. In so many ways.
Right. And just so people know, she's Perry is spelled P-E-R-R-I, not P-E-R-R-Y. It's spelled P-E-R-R-I. So Diamond the
right
way, P-E-R-R-I.
Right.
Definitely. And if you could choose one famous person to interview on your show, if you got to that point, you could... Your first famous person, like, who would it be and why?
I don't know. I think it would be Jill Scott or Erykah Badu, and probably Jill Scott. And just because, you know, my favorite people, I watch a lot of their interviews and, you know, different things that they do. And Jill Scott is definitely a very multi-talented person. She's very intelligent, and she has a lot going on. She's very, very interesting. She has a lot more going on than what other people think. She definitely was an actress first, and she takes pride in her music. That and you know, she also speaks. She's also a motivational speaker. She's a voice to teenage kids, teenage girls and stuff. So she's very interesting.
Right. I didn't even know she does motivational speaking, but based on, like, her music and stuff, it doesn't really surprise me. That's really dope.
Right, right.
I would love to see you interview, like, Jill Scott. Jill Scott, Erykah,
right,
do any of them. That would be so dope. And maybe y'all
right,
could do like
right,
a little duet or something. Maybe you could ask her if y'all could do a little duet and they'd be with. That would be so dope. Would you do that?
Right.
Would you even have it in you to ask Erykah Badu or Jill Scott, if they were on your show, do you want to do a duet with me?
Yeah, I definitely would.
That would be so
yeah,
dope. That
definitely
would be epic. Hey, just remember, if you ever do get them on your show, you have to do that. Just remember Tay Real. Remember this conversation. It's like, yeah, you know what?
Right.
Yeah, I got to ask him to do a duet because I just have to see that.
I would definitely do that.
That's an epic show right there.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get into this next song that you have for us. Let them know.
The next song is Another Level, and also one of my favorites. It's also one of my favorites. It's called Another Level. Very nice.
Okay,
track.
So we're going to get into this next song, Another Level by Diamond Perry. Diamond Perry is in the building, y'all. Let's get it. Another Level by Diamond Perry.
Thank you. angelic, angelic perfection. Lovely baby, move, and ooh baby, so tender. You and I, us, we belong.
Diamond Pride, and I just had to say that is my favorite song right there. Like, that's my favorite one. I think that's the one when I heard it, and then I was like, yeah, I gotta, yeah, we gotta make this happen. Like, I really, really, really like that song.
I performed that song a couple of months back for the commissioner here of DeKalb County in Atlanta, Georgia, and he was really fond of it, so he has a TV show here, so... I feel good about that track.
Definitely. And let's talk about how that song came about.
How that song came about, you know, it definitely is a love track. And, you know, me just thinking about relationships and, you know, just thinking about love and actually writing about that female wanting that closeness with her mate. But actually taking a relationship that's, you know, already been going for some time, taking it to the next level, let's take it to another level, rather that other level may mean being engaged, it may mean being married, you know, whatever the next level is in that relationship, let's take it to the next level.
Exactly. And who produced that?
One of the same guy that produced the last track, Chris Houston.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, that came together quite well, definitely.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that.
I'm looking forward to doing, you know, some more things. I'm looking forward to having some more performance dates coming up. I have someone that does the booking and stuff like that. So I'll know shortly, where I'll be, and definitely be performing that song, and we'll be doing a video for it as well.
Oh, you gonna do a video for that song?
Yeah, because I have a vision with it. I have a vision with that song. If you really listen to the instrumental, what I see as far as a video, I just see like violinists in a ballroom.
Oh, that is
dope. And me in a long, beautiful gown dancing.
Oh, really? Oh, that's how you go
yeah.
in like that?
Yeah, I have a big, you know, vision for that song. So yeah.
I can't wait. I got to see this. This I have to see.
Yeah. So, we'll see.
You got some big things coming up. And you're actually an author, too. So let's talk about that. You're an author. How did that come out? How did that come about? Like, how did you end up getting into that?
All my life, for as long as I can remember. I've been writing, I think I wrote my first book when I was like 8 or 9, you know, and of course, you know, it was a paper book, papers that I glued together. I would write these creative stories. I would do the illustration because I'm really good at art, and I would take them to school and sell them for like 30, 40, 50 cents during restroom break.
Oh, wow. What grade
yeah.
was this?
Like fourth grade, third, fourth grade.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, I've been writing for as long as I can remember. Writing for anybody, you know, for any writer is, of course, a sense of expression. So I use that, you know, to my advantage growing up. If I was upset about anything, I would write. I would go grab my notebook, go in my room, shut the door, and write. I would write a story. If I was mad at someone, I would write a story about them. Or I would write what I called a book about them, and, you know, glue those pages and stuff together. So, yeah, it started out really, really young. And it's just always been a love of mine, you know, creativity and, like I said, a sense of expression. And I feel good when I want to express myself about anything. I have a bag sitting next to me now, Louis Vuitton bag filled with notebooks. You know,
wow.
I have a notebook and a pen close to me. I have a notebook sitting on my lap right now. So.
That's what's up, man. Because I actually sat and tried to write stories before, and I never was able to. I'm actually working on a few novels myself. Like, I'm working on a few projects.
Right.
But I can never,
right.
like, I can never get into it where it was like, I mean, you know what? I'm starting this, and I'm going to finish it, and I just, boom, the
right.
whole way through. Like,
right.
like, I guess I got, like, a short attention span, like,
I think that's normal because I do that and I'll have to come back, you know, but when it's something that I wrote, because I have a few things that I started a while back as far as writing, you know, books, and I didn't finish them, you know, like fiction stories or whatever, but when it's something that it's really important to you, and it's like, hey, I got to get this out, I got to get this done, you know, just try to discipline yourself to put like an hour in it a day, or maybe two
right.
hours, or, you know, any downtime you have, cut the computer back on, you know, and just really get into it, because with writing a book, it's definitely a process, you know, and sometimes it could take years to finish, not
it
because
could.
It's really taking you years, but, you know, life. You know, you don't have the time where you can sit at your computer all day and finish this book. So.
Right, because right now, writing might not be paying the bills, so you still got to do your 9-to-5. You still got to
right.
handle the kids when they come home, and you got all this
right.
other stuff going on. But, I could definitely see how it could take a while to write a book, because I sat there and I literally went through the process, and I was amazed at how long it takes. We're not even talking about once you finish and then you
right.
got to go back over it and start making corrections, you know, before you take it to someone and have them read it to see how they feel about it.
Right.
Like,
you could have
tons
of rewrites.
It's a whole process.
Right. You could have tons of rewrites.
Definitely.
So, and you want to do that. You want to do that when you're writing anything. You want to have many rough drafts before you call that last draft your last draft. You want to have many rough drafts. And, you know, if you can edit, definitely fine to comb it yourself and definitely edit it yourself, you know, before you send it to someone. Me, myself.
You'll save a lot of money.
right.
You would save a lot of money if you can edit it yourself. I think that if you're really into writing and you're serious about pursuing a career in writing, you may want
right.
to, like, you know, take some classes, like go to college, take a degree
right.
in, like, you know, creative writing or something like that.
Right.
You know, some people are natural. Some people are just really good.
Right.
They just straight A's all the way through school and they naturals. And good for you if you are. If you're not, then you might.
It really came natural with me, but just because of my love to write, I majored in English. I'm big on editing. I definitely do my own editing. I would never, ever pay anyone to edit my work, ever.
That is dope. Well, look, you do editing, so can someone submit you their work and, you know, y'all talk business and you edit their work for them? But you
I've actually
doing that?
Done that throughout my career since I've been here. I just edited a book for someone. Maybe it's been less than 2 months. It's been less than 2 months, and it was a novel. Yeah, I've done that. You know, my writing is a big part of me, so it's something that I've done for the entire time that I've been here in Atlanta. Yeah, and not just editing books. I mean, I've done other things too. I've done a big writing project for an FBI agent here, maybe
wow.
like 2 years ago. Yeah,
that's cool.
He was an air marshal. Yeah, and he needed another, like, a higher position, a job, and. And it was a big project that he had to do. And if he didn't have it complete, he wouldn't be able to get that other position. So he hired me.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
That's dope.
That's something
so,
that
if anyone is looking to work with you as far as anything dealing with writing, if they're looking for someone to help them or looking for someone to edit their work, they can just reach you via email.
Yes, at diamondperry at yahoo.com. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
Well, anybody listening who's been looking for someone to edit their work or looking for someone to help them out, you heard it here on It's Real Talk Radio. Diamond Perry is ready and willing, you know.
Yeah,
and,
so the
yeah,
time will be now because once January hits, when a new year mark hits for me, I'm gonna have a lot going on.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm not gonna have room for anything new.
Right. I mean, unless somebody talking a nice payday. You know, if the price
right.
is right, then
you might
have to talk business. I'm vouching for her.
Right.
If the price is right, then you know. You can get that done, but just make sure you got your paper together. We don't work for free, you know.
Right,
work
right.
Over here, so
none of that.
Let the people know. Because people would think, like, oh, she up and coming. I could just
mm-hmm.
get her to do it. She'll just do it out the kindness of her heart. No, it's going to cost you. Might not
right.
cost you a lot,
but
it's going to cost you.
There's a difference, what people have to understand, too. There's different up-and-comings. There's up-and-coming just starting. And there's up-and-coming where you've made a reputation for yourself. And I actually have
right.
a reputation. So in the beginning, when I first, you know, got my foot in the door with my career, And, of course, any, you know, artist, industry, professional, in the beginning you're going to do things for free. You better do things for free because it's called exposure.
Exactly.
I've already spent a couple of years doing that. But now
I don't know,
and I actually don't have to because I do have a good reputation and I can go into Dollar Tree. I can go into QT. I can go into a few other stores, you know, in the local areas, and people know who I am, and not because I knew them from around the way or because, you know,
right.
they knew me personally. So I know that, you know, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. When I go to different industry functions, people know who I am because I've worked, you know, with different people here, and I've traveled, I've toured. I've done a lot. You know, I did a track for a project that's, it's a reality show. It's in UK. It went to Japan, Paris, France. I've done a lot. I have really, you know, made my mark. So, yeah,
right.
I definitely don't
do that. You
got a
nice little track record.
Yeah. Yeah, because
right.
what happens, you know, once you get to a certain point, you know, and I have certain projects now that have to be done at a certain deadline, or you know, I might travel or something like that, then I'm actually making money. That's what I'm doing now. So I'm doing my career full time. I don't even have a 9-to-5. Is this
right? You're an entrepreneur.
Right.
You know what? You get a nature boy for that. You got to get a nature boy for that. That's like everybody's, like, dream in life. Like, I just want to be able to do what I love to do and enjoy my job and be able to provide for myself and my family through doing what I love to do. So once you're
right.
saying that, I mean, what, how can you complain about life? Life is good at that point.
Right. That, I think that's everyone's dream, and there's nothing, you know, we all crawl before we can walk, you know. I'm walking, but I ain't walking that fast. I'm not, you know, I'm not where I want to be. Definitely
you're
not where
you're not
yet,
sprinting,
but
you're walking, though. You're definitely running.
Right.
You ain't crawling.
I'm a lot farther than what I was, you know. I've put in a lot of work.
Exactly.
I've definitely done that, yeah.
Well, hard work pays off, that's for sure.
And there's still a lot of work to come. There's still
always.
A lot
it never
hard
stops.
Work to come. Right,
the
right.
The grind never stops.
Right.
And
yeah, so
your writing is just as serious as everything else. Like, you're going to go as far as that takes you. You'll take on a full-time job if given the golden opportunity for that also.
You said, well,
like,
I
as
take
far
it
as, like, as far as your writing, as far as, like, being, like, an author, like, like, you take that is as serious as all your other,
things
you do.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I definitely, like, right, I definitely incorporate that with everything, you know, that I do because, excuse me, that's another way that I express myself. That's another part of my creativity, and that's another part of me. So anytime
right.
I feel the need, you know, to write, I'm going to write, and I'm going to make it an effort from here on out to at least be able to maybe put out, like, 2 a year because my plans are, you know, to release a lot of my things, e-books in the beginning, and then, you know, the book signings and all that stuff come later. Everything's digital right now, so that's what's in, you know, the e-book versions. You want to have your books in an e-book version. Just initially, that's what you want to do. So with that being said, you know, if you're an author, if you're a writer, if you have material, if you have time, the reason that I have time to do all the things that I do is because I'm a workaholic. I don't like to get a lot of sleep. I don't like to sleep a lot. I don't want to sleep for 8 hours because, for one, I can't sleep for 8 hours, but I don't want to. I don't like a lot of sleep. You don't get a lot of things done when you sleep, and a grinder doesn't sleep, so
That is true. And I know a lot of people who feel that way. A lot people that don't have as much going on as you that feel that way. There's a lot of people who feel that way, and that can definitely be true. If you're the type of person that needs to sleep for 12 hours, and you got a lot going on, something's not going to get done, that's for sure.
Right. A lot of things are not going to get done. I don't like to sleep in. I don't like to sleep late, any of that. I don't do a lot of naps. A nap for me is like 30 minutes, So, I definitely take care of myself, though, because I know a lot of people, especially older people, they say, hey, if you don't get sleep, you don't get rest, you need to, sleep and rest your body. I definitely take care of myself, if I feel like I'm getting to a breaking point, okay, you need to try to get some rest and stuff, I'll do it, but it's very hard and it's very difficult for me to take a day where I do not work, and I try to do that on Sunday, Sunday's the day to go to church and worship and all that. I learned that if you don't take time and give it to God, everything you think you have going on, he'll take it away from you. You have time to worship when he's done.
Right, definitely. Did you have a favorite author, an author that might have inspired you, or you just love their work?
When I was a big reader, I was always really into Terry McMillan. But I can say I'm not as big of a reader as I used to be, because, of course, I don't have time with me being doing so much writing and stuff like that. But she would be my favorite author if I had any. It would be her.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. And do you have anything that's published right now? And if you do, like, how can it be found?
Definitely you can look forward to something this month. Like I said, maybe like a week after Christmas. My book that I have coming out now is called You Can Never Walk in My Shoes. That'll be available like on Amazon.com and downloadable as the ebook. So that is the first published project that I'll have. And it'll be my Christmas present to myself. So if anyone would like to go to my blog site at diamondperry.blog.com, there are samples of that book on there. Maybe a snippet of a page or something like that. Just to kind of give people a taste of something. A writer does that every so often, just to give you a taste and kind of share their expression. So that's what that's about.
Almost like when you got an album coming out and you give them a single, just to let them know what they can look forward to.
Right, exactly.
Right.
There are people that are definitely looking forward to that book, and I'm definitely looking forward to it myself. It's something that I've worked on for maybe a period of I'll say like 2.5 years. And, once again, it's not that it actually took me 2.5 years to write it, but, different things, just wondering, hey, should I maybe go back and redo this and, redo that? Whenever you're creating something, you're very particular about the way someone else would view it or, how they may feel about what they're going to read. That's very important.
Right.
Oh.
Exactly. And so, you sing, you're a songwriter, you're a radio host, you're an author, you're an actress, you do a little bit of everything. Out of all of the different professions that you're into, do you have a favorite? Does one of them stand out most?
I asked myself that same question, And I can't really pinpoint one because one always complements the other.
Right.
So I can't really say that I have a favorite because I absolutely love my music. Like, I absolutely love my music. But then I'll tell you, I absolutely love my writing. You know, like I told you how much I write. I write all the time. I write every day. So I absolutely love my writing. And as far as acting, you know, that's another sense of expression. That's another way to express yourself and, you know, creativity. And when you're singing and performing, you're actually acting. So I love it all. It's, I don't think that I really have a favorite. And I couldn't have one without the other. So I'm just going to do, you know, what I need to do. Let God, you know, lead the way. And show me how he wants me to use my gifts and my talents.
Definitely. I definitely respect that. Man, you just, there's so much. I mean, I feel overwhelmed just for, I feel overwhelmed for you. You know, but, I mean, when you're a grinder and you got your mindset, and you're
right.
focused and you're determined, I mean, anything's possible. I mean,
right.
you can juggle around multiple careers when you're really focused, you know, and you're dedicated. So
right.
definitely, definitely give you props for that.
Right. Yeah, when you look at most people in the industry, though, most industry professionals usually have at least two or three things that they do. You know, at one time, it just seemed like it kind of, you know, goes hand in hand, like Ice Cube, you know.
Exactly.
He's a music producer, you know, writer. He's a phenomenal writer, you know, script writer.
Actor,
actor,
director,
you know.
Do everything.
Queen Latifah, you know, she's basically doing the same thing. Jamie Foxx, you know.
Right.
So, yeah, so it's just all a gift, you know, and you just use it, you know, the way that it comes out.
Definitely, because, like, you know, it's good to do multiple things, because when something in one field might be going slow, then you still
right.
got that other thing to fall back on. Like, you're not only acting, but you're producing and you're writing too. So it's like, all right, well, there's no work coming right now as far as movies, so I'm gonna write a
right.
movie, or I'm gonna co-produce a movie, or I'm gonna, you know. My, open
right,
up a restaurant,
right.
something. You know, you always want to have something
right.
to fall back on. That, you know, your parents
right.
always tell you when you grow up, what's the first thing they tell you? Don't get your dream, get your hopes up on one dream. If you're going to play football,
right.
you can't be 60 still playing football, getting tackled by 23-year-olds and think you're still going to be able to, you know, excel. So, like, you get hit one time, you're going to be in the hospital for, like, 6 months. So, like,
right.
you need to, like, that's why you see a lot of ex-athletes, they're, like, analysts now, or they, you know,
right.
they're doing other things. You know, it's always good to have other things to fall back on, and it's always good to, like,
right.
you know, it's just always good to have something to fall back on. Basically.
Right. Definitely. It's always definitely good to, you know, have an education. That's first and foremost, because that's something
right.
that
that's
someone
exactly
can never take
say.
From you. Yeah, that's something that someone, you know, so I thank God for that, and, you know, definitely my parents or whatever, you know, because I come from very intelligent genes, so I didn't really struggle in school or anything like that. I'm intelligent and, you know, graduated with good grades and everything. I have an education. If I ever wanted to go back to school for anything, I could. But, you know, I pretty much have my life goals and everything set, so, you know.
That's what's up. And with all you have going on right now, do you find it difficult to date? Because I know there's, like, a lot of, when people have a lot going on, it's, like, it's kind of hard sometimes to have a relationship, a
right.
serious relationship, and do one career, let alone everything you have going on.
Right,
are you
right.
able to, like, handle that? Like, does that work for you?
Well, I can say in the past, it had, you know, it had been difficult. It really depends on the person. But, yeah, and truly, you know, when you're in the industry and you date, you know, just once you're dating someone, let's just say when it gets on a serious note, when it gets on a serious note in the beginning, people always say, hey, you know, I can deal with it. I support you, you know. But then when they see that you have all this going on, you know, and that's really, it really does take attention away from your relationship. So it takes a special type of person to be able to deal with that. And everybody can't deal with that. So
that is true.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, I've had my times where, you know, it didn't work, and even dating in the industry is still difficult.
Right.
Because, yeah, I've been in a situation where, you know, I'm an artist. He's an artist and a producer. So, you know, you think, hey, you know, this is good and everything. You know, you guys are working together, doing shows, headlining together, and you guys are also in the studio together. But then, you know, in my situation, it became a thing where, I don't know, it was almost like we were in competition. I didn't want to compete with him. But, I mean, I really didn't. But it felt like he wanted to compete with me, and I didn't really understand that. You know, I had brought him into, I was with a local label at that time. I had brought him in, and, you know, he wasn't where I was in my career. I was in a different place. He hadn't really had exposure and stuff like that. So I was like, you know, hey, you know, come out here to Atlanta and everything, you know, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, we can perform together and, you know, kind of introduce him to everybody. But, you know, it just didn't work. I mean, it seemed like he was in competition, and I didn't understand that. So.
Yeah, I guess he was just being a guy, because, like, a lot of guys, they don't want to feel like their woman has, like, achieved more than them, or, like, their woman has the more potential, has more going on. A lot of guys don't want to feel like they're, we'll just say, wearing the skirt. Like, the woman is the
right
one that's more excelled, you know, has more potential, and you feel like you're going to be the one staying home taking care of the kids because your woman is
right
going to be the one providing, because she's just the one that got it going on right now. So,
right,
you know,
right,
competitive nature in a guy. Guys are competitive. It's sports, whatever. Even with your own woman,
right,
like, a lot of guys are like that. It would take a special guy to, like, really understand, support, not be in competition, and just kind of just really just be rooting for you the whole time and not want to compete with you.
Right. I definitely did not know. I definitely didn't understand why it was crazy. I mean, he was an awesome artist and, I mean, a wonderful producer, but it's like we would have a show, you know, to go to, and so we're in the car on the way to the show. He would pop his CD in, you know, turn it up, and, I mean, we're listening to his CD the whole way, and I'm just like, okay, we just left the house. You know, we had the studio at the house, and it's like, your music has been on all day. My music hasn't been on, and I'm also going to perform with him. You know, we're not performing together, but, you know, we're both, you know, we both had a show that night. So it's like, okay, I need to cut my song on.
Right. Can I hear a little bit of my music? I'm performing too.
Right.
Did
so I can go over my, he's like, hey, you know, I'm going to go over my song and stuff, you know, so. I don't know, I didn't really understand that. And then, you know, I also had been, it didn't even really get to a dating situation, but I thought that, you know, the guy would understand because he was a producer. And I won't call
him. Right, you thought he could relate.
Yeah, he actually produces for some big names now. So he's pretty much, you know, where he needs to be in his career or whatever. But, he didn't like the fact that I had all these shows and stuff going on, and, you know, we were doing the BET Award events and just all kinds of stuff. But really, I was working like 6 days a week, and then on Sundays we had like video shoots and stuff. And so I think the problem was that, you know, I really couldn't spend quality time with him. And yeah, so he said he needed a woman that could do that. And I guess I wasn't her.
Well, I mean, whatever's meant to be, I always say, if it's meant, at the end of the day, if it's meant to be, it'll work out. If not, then You know, it just wasn't meant to be. It doesn't necessarily mean one person was right, one person was wrong.
Right,
I think people spend too much time pointing the fingers. Sometimes it just wasn't right. It wasn't the right time in life. It wasn't the right moment. It wasn't the right situation. And it just, you know, sometimes you got to be able to
the right people.
Accept that. And just sometimes people are just straight, just jackasses, and they really are the cause of it. But, you know, we're not going to get into that because that's a whole other topic. That's one of those relationship shows because I got a lot to say about that, and I don't even want to get myself started because the show will be off and I still be talking to myself. I'm just going to stay away from that. And we're closing in on the end of the show, but you know I cannot let you leave without you giving the people something live because, you know, there's a lot of studio singers out there. So, you know, I like to let people display their talent live to let them know they're not a studio rapper or a studio singer. So let the people hear Diamond Party live in action.
Okay. I'm hoping love will take me. Take me, baby. Another level, another level. I'm hoping, baby. I'm hoping love will take me. Yeah. Take me, baby, another level, another level. I'm home, baby.
Well, there you have it. Diamond Pari in the building. You heard the vocals live, so you know she's not a studio singer. You know you can hear the clarity in her voice. You know, you heard her live in action, everything she has to offer, all of the talents that she has. And it's definitely been a pleasure. Now, before we go, just to make sure everybody caught that, like, let the people know how they can reach you directly. Like.
Definitely, I'm on each and every social network. I'm even on Tumblr, and everything is, of course, at Diamond Pari. And that's Perri. I'm on Facebook as Diamond Pari or The Real Diamond Pari. There's the blog site. It's diamondperi.blog.com. And we list stories, you know, from the talk show and different things that I have going on with my talk show. I also have a website that, you know, hosts my music and just talks about my movement, the different things that I'm doing. And that's DiamondPerri.com. I'm on Twitter, DiamondPerriR&B. Follow me. And I'm also on Instagram as Diamond Pari. And, you know, if not, you can just Google Diamond Pari, Perri. But I'm everywhere. And I look to be in some really big movies soon and a lot of other great things, you know. So I'm definitely here to stay.
Definitely. Well, it's been a great show. It's been a pleasure sitting here chopping it up with you. One of the most unique guests I've had. It's definitely been a pleasure.
And the pleasure was mine. Yeah, I really enjoyed speaking with you and everything. I really enjoyed your show. And I'll definitely be tuning in and, you know, supporting your movement as well. So,
I definitely appreciate it. And, you know, we'll keep in touch and, you know, one of these days we'll end up doing, you know, working together again. You know, you got your show going on. I got all this stuff going on and stuff. We're going to definitely probably end up coming together on something again. Maybe I'll be on your show next time. Who knows?
Right, right. And I'll definitely extend the invite, you know. So the feeling is mutual. I really enjoyed the show. And I hope your fans and your viewers and listeners, I hope they enjoyed everything that I have to offer. I have a very positive movement, so I'm looking forward to sharing that with the world.
Yeah, I think you'll have some new friend requests. When people hear this interview, I think you'll have some new friend requests, some new followers. You might even have some new emails. How much would you charge me to edit this or do this, you know? So
right.
Be looking forward to that type of stuff. Cause,
definitely appreciate it.
I mean, after hearing this, I don't see how anyone can even deny. Like, if I didn't even know you and I listened to this, I'm a believer now. I mean, I was just like, I would be wanting to, like, look further into it myself, you know.
So. Right, right.
Definitely. And I watched this show, and, you know, I think what you do is great, you know, and, you know, you definitely reach out for the people. You're a people's person. You know, you can tell you definitely have a good heart, you know. And people just need to watch this show themselves and see for themselves. But I can tell you definitely have a good heart, and you're definitely a person that's for the people, and you reach out and you care about people. That's very dope. So the pleasure has been all mine. And, yeah, so everybody, you've been listening to It's Real Talk Radio. I'm your host, Tay Real. My co-host, Nizzy Nay, has some things going on, but she'll be back next show. So shout out to my co-host, Nizzy Nay. Shout out to Diamond Pari for joining us.
Thank you. It's Real Talk Radio.
Diamond Pari is in the building. Thank everybody for listening. And stay tuned for the next episode, y'all. It's Real Talk Radio. Tay Real, Diamond Pari, signing out. Good night.
Thank you.